Well, I apologize for the delay in getting to you today. My computer is completely locked down, and I can't even shut it off to reboot it. So I have just called in, so I'm doing this without a computer screen and knowing if anybody's on there. Our topic for today is understanding and accepting our differences. And I think this is very important, and it came to mind this weekend. As many of you know, I went to a family emergency last week and didn't do the Clay Show. My ex was on life support, and I needed to be with my daughters there to help these two precious, different personality-style daughters come to an agreement and make a hard decision on taking them off life support, and then, of course, we saved for the funeral and making all the different arrangements from different points of view. And I went with the intention of mine is that my girls could come to a peaceful understanding and harmony and make decisions for the highest good of all. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to judge others? It's like second nature to point out our differences and criticize others for not doing things our way, when in actuality, we are more than any one of us when we combine our unique strengths and differences. Think about that for a moment. A salad with just one ingredient, just lettuce, would be boring. But when you add a little pepper and tomatoes and carrots and other ingredients, you have more creativity. It's better. So combining our differences when we can compromise on a higher intention gives us more resources to work with, to come up with creative answers. Let me give you an example. If you have more than one child, you understand how different personalities and ways of doing things they are, right? Totally different. Different ends of the spectrum, if you will. Well, my daughters are as different as day and night or oil and water. Always have been, always will be. It's been a bone of contention on more than one occasion, and these moments can wedge a wall between siblings or loved ones and destroy relationships. Recently, my 77-year-old ex-husband fell and was taken to the ER, where it was also determined that he had two bleeding ulcers. Within the first week, he got 12 pints of blood. They were able to cauterize one ulcer, but unable to stop the bleeding of the other one. The only option was a risky operation, as he had other health issues as well. My oldest daughter, Allison, had moved her dad to Brownwood 15 years before, where she had in-laws and a farm, and it was closer to her. She lived in Dallas, but they planned to retire there one day. She was with him before he went into surgery. My youngest daughter, Ashley, a kindergarten teacher in San Marcos, called him the night before, not believing that it would be the last time she would speak to him. He went into a coma after the surgery and did not respond to stimuli and never woke up. After 2 weeks on a ventilator, a decision had to be made to take him off of that or do a tracheotomy. Well, as we said, there was no response, and in the meantime, he had got pneumonia. Ashley, being the optimist, argued to hold on. She knew he would wake up. She just knew it. She wanted desperately to talk to him one more time. Did I mention my daughters are totally different in personality and likes and dislikes? By now, their dad had pneumonia as well. The decision was made, though Ashley was still not feeling fully in agreement to make it, and the tension was high. My cousin has sent me a text asking if Ashley had come to understand more easily or if she might talk to her since she had made a similar decision with her husband who had died of cancer a year ago. I texted back, I think Ashley just wanted to talk to her dad one more time, and that would have made the decision even harder. Well, as we all know, there are no accidents. Somehow, I sent the text to Ashley. I got a reply saying, you sent me the text to me, Goofy, from Ashley. a mistake I often make when texting. She walked up to the car door where I sat with her sister. We had a good laugh, which seemed to break the tension. Did God know she just wanted to be heard and understood? I think I now know that text was who that text was sent to on purpose. Now, the funeral arrangements and daughters with differences. Well, they both did what they were good at, and together it was the perfect farewell and funeral. Allison's skills and organization handled the request her dad had given her and took care of all the details with the funeral homes, a memorial in Brownwood and a funeral in the hometown of Seymour. Paul Barrows, she contacted Paul Barrows' family and friends. Ashley, being the family historian, provided pictures, memorabilia, old country songs he loved as background to a slideshow of his pictures throughout his life. His old belt buckle, his boots, and old Arledge Ranch banner were there in place. His old work hat was worked into a spray, a floral spray from his grandson. It was divinely perfect. God orchestrated all of us to share our gifts as it should be. People from his childhood and college days were there, and my children and grandson got to see another side of their dad and grandfather. As for me, it reminded me of why I married him in the first place. God is good, God is everything, all is well. Differences are needed and used well. I found a few quotes I liked, and it said, "He stood there looking at the road ahead, watching the heat waves making a mirage in the distance. The road reminded him of his own life, behind them the places he had been, but the specifics he could not clearly recall. Ahead of him the open road and the mystery of places yet visited. It is not the destination, it is the voyage. Do not let the chaos of others destroy your inner peace." This is from observation from a biker. Well, as life would have it, when you need a solution, again, it comes to you from unexpected sources. A friend that I was staying with and had shared my concern about my girls and wanting them to be pulled together by this this happening rather than pulled apart. And she found a poem that she passed on to me, and it says, "Different. If I do not want what you want, please try not to tell me that my want is wrong. Or if I believe other than you, at least pause before you correct my view. Or if my emotions are less than yours, try not to ask me to feel more strongly or weakly. Or yet, if I act or fail to act in the manner of your design for action, let me be. I do not, for the moment at least, ask you to understand me. That will come only when you are willing to give up changing me into a copy of you. I may be your spouse, your parent, your sibling, or your offspring, your friend, or your colleague. If you allow me any of my own wants or beliefs or actions, then you open yourself so that someday these wants of mine might not seem so wrong and might finally appear to you as right for me. To put up with me is the first step in understanding me. Not that you are no longer irritated or disappointed with me for my seeming waywardness, and in understanding me you might come to prize my difference from you, and far from seeking to change me, preserve and even nurture those differences. The author is unknown." I thought that was a beautiful poem to remind all of us that when we have a judgment or something against someone else, look and see if we are judging our differences and we're not understanding where they're coming from and how we can be more than any one of us and come together. There's always a solution, just like these solutions came to me. Now, I'm going to share this poem with my daughters. At the funeral, it wasn't the right time, but I'm going to write them a note, send it to both of them, let them know that I'm sending it to both of them, and hope they will read it, and in time, come to understand and appreciate their differences. They dress differently, they like different music, they like different styles, and so, you know, it's kind of difficult. Ironically, the funeral went off beautifully. That wasn't the ironic part, but it was as if Pinky, my ex, gave his stamp of approval, to the wedding, because the morning of the funeral in Seymour, my son-in-law got up and got his pickup, and we had talked about what music would play, and my ex loved old country songs, Willie Nelson, Ray Price, Ernest Tubbs, you know, the oldies and the goodies, the crying your beer type. And one of the songs he loved was Seven Spanish Angels. And Ashley had picked out some songs to play while a slideshow of the pictures she had brought was going on for the people at the funeral to see before the family walked in. And Seven Spanish Angels was one of the songs. And one of the songs that he picked for his funeral that he wanted sang was O Rugged Cross. Well, when my son-in-law turned on his pickup, the radio came on and Seven Spanish Angels was playing. Now, Seven Spanish Angels isn't a song that you hear every day on the radio. It's kind of rare that you hear it. And he thought, wow, and he kind of got goosebumps. Well, the next song that sang he didn't like too much, so he switched channels to another station, and it was Sunday morning, and guess what was playing? The Old Rugged Cross. And he shared that with us, and he said, Pink is giving us a high sign, he's okay, and he's thrilled with his funeral, because we're going to call it a celebration of life. So, as always, God is good. God is everything, even this. It all works out, and His hand is in there in invisible ways that we don't even recognize and see oftentimes. I'm sure there were other things that would remind us of Him and let us know that everything was going just as it should be. In the hospital, when we took him off the respirator, he was kind of labored breathing, and he had gone on for many hours, and Ashley wanted to go back to the motel for a minute. There were too many people in the room, and she was getting nervous. She just wanted family there. So she left, and he had been the same all day, so we told her to go, and we'd call her if we needed her. Then they brought some food up, and it was late in the afternoon, and we hadn't eaten lunch, and somebody brought some food, and my other daughter went down to the waiting room to eat, and I was there alone with him. Now, my daughters had been rubbing his head. He's got a bald head, and they'd been rubbing his head. He always said, rub my head for luck, and holding his hands and patting on him and talking to him and crying over him. And as soon as they left, his numbers on the machine started dropping. And it was amazing. It was like he was waiting for them to leave so he could pass. And the nurse came in and said, you better call the family back. All of a sudden, he's going pretty fast. It won't be long now. Well, we got Allison from the waiting room, and she came in to be there. And I called Ashley, and she was on her way over, but he died just before she got there. And, you know, even that was perfect, because she couldn't have taken it to see the color drain from his face. It would have torn her up. And so it was all in divine order. It's all in perfection and all the way it should be, as everything in life always is. And in that closing thought, there's another little saying here. It says, I am different. I always have been. It took a while, but I have accepted that I am magic, not meant for everyone to understand. So they question. that's okay. I will stay in my lane being all my magic, all magical and stuff. And that's from the singing woman. I thought that was rather cute. And we're all different. So don't try to be who you're not. Learn to accept yourself and others. And oftentimes we criticize others for they don't, because they aren't like us, which is very conditional. You're not giving unconditional love, you're giving conditional love. I will love you if you dress like me, talk like me, go to church like me, do this like me, do that like me. And if you see them as less than that, we create all this suffering ourselves from our perception. And the only thing that we have control over, you can't change another person. But as I've said before, and I'll say again, you can change the way you see them. That's the only thing that you have the power to do. You can't change people, but you can change the way you see them. How about seeing them as perfect, doing it their way? How about seeing them as having, particularly with our children, that we raise them with the right standards, and though they're going to go off and test life and do some wild things and get in a little trouble now and then, that they will come back, and that's how they gain wisdom. You've got to let them have their stumbles and falls and failures and let them learn to get up and stand up and go forward again. If we keep giving them solutions all the time, they never learn to be creative and think for themselves and look for solutions. They're looking for a handout, a help, somebody to help them. We've created a world of helpless people because we never taught them how to do for themselves. They never learned that if they wanted something, they had to work for it. They had to go out and get it and be determined. So I hope today's service or exercise has been helpful for you. We will have this article posted on the website. Cheryl will probably get it up tomorrow. I apologize for being late. I even had the perfect song picked out. I was on iTunes when my computer locked up, and oddly enough, I can't turn it off. I've turned the button off, but I have a backup system, and I couldn't get to it to find out how to turn it off. So it's still, the little circle is still spinning, trying to get the internet to come on, and now I have a project for the afternoon. So I hope this has been beneficial to you. Again, I apologize for the disruption. I was beginning to wonder if I wasn't meant to share this message today, but I found a way. We can always find another way. I just called in. I have no internet connection, but I hope you are hearing me and I'm online. It took a little while to figure it out, and I thank Cheryl for helping me with that. This is Perrier signing out and wishing you a wonderful day and to find that peace and harmony with every person in your life, particularly the ones you love to hate. There's a gift there from them. The beauty for me was getting to be reminded of old stories and the fun times that my husband and I had together when we were young and in love before life changed. And so it was all good. This is Perrier wishing you a wonderful, blessed day. Signing out.